Hey, welcome to Intentional Living, continuing our discussion from yesterday and our help on the topic of decision making. Making a decision, either you make it or someone else will make it for you. That's the reality we have. I always get a chuckle when people say, I don't know if I should decide or not. Well, if you don't, that's a decision in and of itself. The power comes from making the right decision, figure out what pleases Christ, and then doing it is the mission of intentional living. Our verse from the book of Ephesians, where the Bible reminds us to figure out what pleases Christ and then make the decision to do it. And the first and most important decision in life is, how do you want to end? I hope and pray that you have made a decision to be a follower of Christ. Listen, that's not made for you. That's a decision you have to make. And if you choose to follow Him, then we want to be a part of the process, saying, praise God. Now, how do we live our lives intentionally in Him for His glory and certainly for our benefit? Your comments are welcome on our storyline today. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's get to our call. Cindy is in Texas. Hi, Cindy.
Hello from Texas. How are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about decision making?
Well, I've made a terrible decision that I want to share with you. My husband and I have been married 27 years. We have 4 kids. We have a set of very involved special needs children. Mm. We've been rocking and rolling along for 25 years, and our twins live with us. And we have been hitting some challenges in our life, like everyone does, careers and finances and whatnot. And for some reason, I just had a complete mental collapse. I've been dealing with mental health issues, and on May 21st of 2023, I made the decision to kill myself. Oh. And as I'm sitting there, I had already taken this, you know, large amount of pills, and I'm sitting there, and God could have let me die, but He didn't. He saved me, even though I didn't call out for Him. I didn't ask for help from Him. He saved me and I survived. There have been a lot of physical ramifications from my choice. I definitely lost guardianship of my twins. I put a big strain on my marriage. I've lost all the trust of my family and friends. But the great thing is I am so much closer to God than I've ever been. He showed me that He is there for me despite the fact that I wasn't there with Him. And it's totally changed our life for the better.
Wow. Well, praise God. I'm so thankful for you and for your family and for a lesson for people who are listening who feel that maybe today, because we get to a point sometimes where we don't, everything seems so dark and black for some people, they don't know where to turn. That seems like the only way.
Right. The spiritual battle is real, and the dark side will definitely not stop coming for you.
Mm.
So,
Was that a downhill? Did you go through was that leading up to that process till you got to that point? That were you seeking for help, or did people see the issues, or was there a point earlier on that maybe you could have stopped it earlier? Does that make sense?
I've struggled with many mental health issues since I was 16, and I've been on medication and in therapy just to be able to deal with anxiety and stress.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this family that was so complicated, and the dynamics was really challenging. And I guess after 25 years of just nose to the grindstone, and not relying on God.
Yeah.
I was not a Christian, and I just became one.
Amen. So that was the turning point after this, to really give your life to Christ and trust Him, and that's made the difference.
And the best decision I've ever made is to reach out to Jesus and ask Him to take over. Thank God that He's there to take over.
Amen. Well, we wish you the best, and thank you for sharing so vulnerably your story and what you've been through. And it's a reminder that our decisions have consequences. In her case, praise God, she came to Christ, she survived, but she's still living with the physical consequences of that choice. And I would just say for anyone listening today, whenever the topic of suicide comes up, it's such a difficult topic and such an issue in our country today. If you're really feeling overwhelmed today, if you're a person that's saying, hey, that's the kind of decision I'm trying to face in my life today, there's help available. And there's a crisis hotline available, and it's pretty simple to get to. Just get your phone and call 988. 988 is the crisis national hotline, and someone there can talk to you today. Making decisions. Let's continue on with our calls. Where do I go next here? Let me see. Go to Gary. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good today. Been a long, rocky road for me, but...
What's going on? How does this relate to decision-making?
Well, the decision-making is I have no idea what God wants me to be. I have been on a long road I told God to take everything from me that has nothing to do with Him. And it's been a struggle. But He's finally got me to rock bottom, where I only see Him, and I'm the type of person that I guess needed to have that happen to me. I only have a few things. I have my daughter and my family, but every other piece of anything that has to do with worldly possessions and stuff has been ripped pretty much away from me. House, vehicles, cars, things, all that stuff. And I'm trying to follow really tightly and closely. But I feel like if I step out into one way or another and I make that decision, it might be the wrong one. And I don't want to do something that God doesn't want me to do. I feel like He's wanted me to be a pastor, to just helping with the school kids in the elementary schools, tons of stuff. I don't know how to listen, I guess, the best way.
Well, what I hear, Gary, is you're at the bottom, but on your way up right now.
Yeah. I feel it, but...
All right, listen, it's going to take time. I don't know how you got to the bottom. That's really not as important as you're there and you recognize it and you're getting healing. You're allowing God to work in your life. But you said two important things. I have my daughter and my family.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my daughter and my family than a car and a house.
For sure.
Right?
Yes, for
okay.
sure. Definitely.
Two. Do you have people around you do you have people who are supporting you and helping you, encouraging you?
Yes. My mother and father are very much into the Word and follow Christ very, very closely. They're also going through a lot, but they're helping me. They're there for me. And my daughter loves the Lord as well, and she's there for me as well. So,
all right.
And I do have a good community. I just, like I said, I guess I'm just the one that's just not seeing or maybe not knowing. I just don't know how to know.
Well, I wouldn't rush it. You know, when you're at the bottom, and I use that word, wherever that is for every person, that's probably not the best time to be making the big life decisions of what am I going to do and what's my career. You're in a healing process right now. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
You're getting your spirit straight. You're getting your head straight. You're getting relationships. Not like you're dealing with financial things. You're kind of saying, hey, okay, I'm here. I'm going to start putting the little pieces together and start rebuilding my life, okay?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
All right. You've got years ahead here, brother, if God tarries. And don't beat yourself up. It sounds like you're feeling good about the direction you're headed. You're just confused about what's next.
Right.
That's the exciting thing.
Well, yeah, I sort of know the direction. I just don't know the exact direction, I guess.
All right. That's all right. You do what's right in front of you. I'm going to encourage you. You talked about, you know, should I become? There's a great place in Scripture to go in the book of Ephesians. I did a lesson on this. The first three chapters of Ephesians really focus on who we are in Christ. The first three chapters don't talk about what we do or, you know, any of that. It's all about who we are in Christ. And the last three chapters talk about the things we should do in terms of our finance, our work, our relationships, giving us some really great, powerful biblical principles. I would encourage you to make the book of Ephesians a Bible study for yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Read the first three chapters in light of that, and then you'll hear at the end of chapter 3, when Paul begins chapter 4, he says, therefore, which means whatever I just wrote about, these first three chapters, about who you are in Christ, therefore, now become the man that you want to be in terms of your relationship with your work and with your family. And it lays out all the things that we do. And I say the first three chapters of Ephesians are being, and the next three chapters are what we're becoming, what we're doing. Being and doing, right? And you're focusing on the doing. I think you still need to do some healing in the, excuse me, in the being, who you are in Christ, and just grow in that and feel comfortable taking one step at a time. I wouldn't push it. And God'll reveal himself to you and what opportunities. And I take it a day at a time and just grow in him.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And you're in a good church?
Sounds great too. I like growing in him.
You're in a good church?
Yeah, I do. I go to a Rock Point Ministries here in Arizona.
All right. And you're in the Word and you got good friends around you. You're well on your way, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
And remember, I don't know what your past is about, and that's not really important. Everybody hear that. But you know what? The Scripture says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you've done that, whatever it is in your life, you are a free man, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, because if you ain't, I ain't.
That's true.
All right? You're a free man. Don't live in the past. Satan will love to take you into the past. He'll love to beat you up on the stupid things you've done and all that stuff. Don't go there. Don't allow him to take you there. Let the freedom start today and experience it in the days ahead, one step at a time. You're growing into you're working out your salvation, okay? Taking it one day at a time with him. Fair enough?
Yes, fair enough.
All right. you hang on here. Reverend Davis, our own Stephen, he's given me the high sign. I want to talk to him. So he's going to encourage you, I bet. So hang on there, Gary. Pray for Gary. Hey, listen, we've all been at the bottom. Sometimes for some of us, the bottom has been just a little dip, right? Come on. Some of us has been way down there where you have to put a flashlight to see the bottom. And some of you, like Gary, you're at the bottom and you're just starting to look up. It's okay. I'll tell you what. It's when you look back, you're going to hear a tremendous story. We heard it today. Our chapel here at the ministry. Am I okay or do we have to take a break? Are we okay? Got a minute? Okay. Our chapel today had David Smallbone, who is the King and Country, the dad of King and Country, right? And they have a new movie coming out in their life story. We had a chance to see that, but he shared his story today. And here's this very successful family. The parents, he's the dad of Rebecca St. James, and then, of course, King and Country. But his story is about the two low years in his life where he felt like a complete failure. That's what he talked to the staff about today, complete failure. And yet God moved, and what a powerful story of a changed life. I'm telling you, I've been around long enough that many of the people you see who are, quote, spiritually successful, if you look at them, many of them have been at the bottom, because it's in those moments that we find our strength and we find that the God of creation and the power of the Holy Spirit is transformational in our lives. So Gary, hang on, my friend, and maybe your name is not Gary, but you're there. God has some great plans. Be intentional, right? Hope is in him. We talk about experiencing hope. You experience hope by living intentionally in Christ every day. All right, enough of me. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I came across Intentional Living. I went through a very difficult time, and my word for the year was intentionality. and being able to hear a radio station that promotes or encourages intentionality was like, thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're like Patricia. Life has been difficult, but listening to Intentional Living encourages you and helps you get through your day.
With your support, people like Patricia have the tools to live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want.
As we approach our spring fundraiser, support the Ministry of Intentional Living. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I just want to take 30 seconds and thank those of you who have been praying for us and supporting the ministry. You've been so faithful in your monthly support, your auto-giving. That comes in automatically. We appreciate it because we're listener supported. And here's a fact: we don't borrow money. We won't borrow money to operate this this radio ministry of Intentional Living. And so, if the support goes away, we go away. And we just as soon stay here and continue this. And so, thank you. And when you join us, we'll give you access to all of that teaching that Kurt mentioned. How do you do it? Go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours. 888-888-1717. Pray for that young 38-year-old Gary today. Gary, I just feel something really good's going to go on in your life for God's glory. All right. Talking about decisions, good, bad, indifferent. How do you make decisions? I've got some points I'll get to here in a moment, but I want to go to Alisa in California. Hi there. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Randy. How are you?
Good. Good. How do you weigh in on decision-making? What's going on?
About 6 years ago, I had to make a very tough decision. I was kicked out of my adoptive mom's house with two children under 2 years old, and they had the opportunity to move into their father's home with their grandparents and himself, and I was not welcome there due to certain circumstances in our marriage and being separated. And I chose to let go of that situation and let God handle it, and they moved in with their father, and it's a decision that I will never regret, and I thank God for giving me the strength to just, I want to say, muscle through that. Those first few years were really hard, and but now they have such a great relationship with their father and his parents, and I wouldn't change anything. I know that it's God's will, and
so you feel good. You feel good. They're living with dad and the grandparents. You feel that's a better place for them.
Yeah, I do. I didn't want them to experience what I experienced as a young child. I was in and out of foster care. I didn't really have a home. I didn't grow up in that.
How are you doing today? How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad to be on the air with you. This is great. This opportunity that God's been kind of calling me to, and I was listening to the broadcast earlier today, and I just felt something tug at me and say, pick up your phone, go ahead and call. Let them know what you had to do. It was hard. It was really hard, and I still feel some guilt for it, but I know that it was the best decision that I could have made for them, and it was the most selfless thing that I've ever done in my life, was letting them have that home. And I still get to see them. We hang out all the time, and their dad and I have become closer friends because of the conversations that need to be had while I'm out of the house. And it's not easy. Definitely not easy, but it was very worth it. And it's something that I hope can be encouraging to another mom out there that may be experiencing the same situation, maybe the same circumstances. But I want her to know that at the end of the day, those kids having a home and having somewhere to rest at night and wake up in the morning to loving grandparents and pets. They've got dogs all over the place.
When parents have to make tough decisions sometimes for the best interest of their children, and not for the best interest of themselves, that's sacrifice, isn't it? And the stories can be, there's lots of different stories that relate to that kind of a decision. But when we say, look, God, you've given me these children. Now I have a responsibility. What am I going to do? How am I going to be the most intentional, God-honoring person in helping these children become responsible adults and then ultimately coming into relationship with you? Wow. I can only imagine the journey you've been down, Alicia. Very difficult. All right. Thank you for your call. You know, we're talking about questions that you have to ask yourself when you're making decisions in life. Let me go through them very quickly, tell you how you can get a printout. You don't have to write this down. I can tell you how you can get it online. But there are 10 quick questions I want to ask. In more detail, you can get it online. Number one is the vision. Is the decision we're about to make going to move me toward a goal or solving a problem? How about my mission or my motivation? What is driving me in this decision? Is it selfish or is it God-honoring? Integrity. Wow. Will this decision affect any commitment or vow that I've made? People have said to me, I've made this decision, and in the process, they've broken a vow they made or a commitment they've made. That's an integrity question. God's word. Does the Bible speak to the decision I'm about to make? Sometimes it's very clear what the Bible teaches. You know, it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways submit to him or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Common sense question. Will the results of this decision make sense and benefit others or me? Sometimes it's just pure common sense. Sometimes you make a decision, you don't have to turn to the Bible, you don't have to go to a counselor. You just say, that's a stupid decision. It's common sense, all right? Careful thought. Have I really thought this decision through? Consequences. Charles Kettering made the statement, for every complex problem, there's a solution that is simple, neat, and wrong. And so really thinking it through, especially the big decisions. Timing, is this the best time for this decision? I've said the right decision at the right time is great, but the right decision at the wrong time can blow up. Knowledge, do I have enough information to make the decision? Sometimes we make decisions. Come on, you need to have people. You know, if you're trying to make a medical decision, talk to a medical person. If you're trying to make a financial decision, talk to a financial person. And even a spiritual, trying to make a spiritual decision, maybe you need to talk to someone who's understands scripture, someone who can spiritually come alongside. And then commitment. Will I be committed to this decision? All right. By the way, all those 10 questions and verses are available on our website at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. When you go there, all you have to do is click on the read icon and then hit decision making in the search engine, and it'll be there for you. All right. Let's go. Oh, we got a caller on line one, Rhonda. Hi there, Rhonda. How are you today?
I'm good. What I was calling about is what I heard on y'all's program yesterday, mm-hmm. of a woman that was having a problem with the older child that moved back in with her.
Yes.
Just wanted to share my experience that might help.
All right. So what did you do? Did you have a daughter move back in with you?
I didn't have a daughter move back in with me, but I had a daughter that was making very bad choices.
Oh, all right.
And this is kind of what she was talking about. But my daughter was so good going through school, high school. She got out and went to college, and even though it was a Christian college, she got in with the wrong crowd, which I never dreamed of her doing this, but she was drinking and driving and partying and all this. Well, I didn't know about it in the beginning, but she got arrested and called me from jail.
Wow.
And when that happened, we went to see the lawyer, and the lawyer was like, she'll get off because this is the first time she's done this. And I thought, no, she's had several wrecks. I'm sure she's done it before. And I didn't believe it was the first time when she got caught. Mm.
I only have about a minute left, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, I was able to, I didn't have the strength to tell the lawyer I didn't want her to get off easy. But I asked him if I could talk to the judge before they made their decision. And I told the judge, I said, she needs to go to jail. I said, because if she doesn't, she's not going to change.
And what happened?
And they let her sit in jail for 15 days. And she grew up. She didn't do that anymore. She completely turned her life around.
Well, has she talked to you since? How have your relationship been?
Oh, we have a great relationship. And I told her what I did later on. I said, I told them you needed to spend time in jail. There's no way you were going to change. Because I knew her personality. Hmm. And sometimes we have to make those tough love decisions.
Yes, we do. Wow. That is a tough decision, because our heart as a parent would be, oh, no, honey, I'll rescue you. And we often say God is trying to do a work in people's lives that sometimes he's unable to break through because of the stupidity of people around that person to protect them from the things that God is trying to teach them. And in this case, it's great your daughter learned. You know what? That's partly because she grew up in your home and she had some foundation to fall back on when she actually did fall. All right, Dr. Randy here. We're wrapping up the show today. I just want to say a huge thank you to our team here, to Juno, Gino Heather, who's on our Facebook. Why did I call you Juno? I don't know. Gino, thank you. And Steven, our executive producer, and Jennifer, thank you for making everything move so smoothly. And to a host of friends who've called, and to so many across the country who are praying for and supporting the ministry of Intentional Living every day. Thank you for that. Without your help, we couldn't do what we do. If you're not a part of the Intentional Living family, come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. And again, if you would like the top 10 list of making great decisions, 10 powerful questions, go to our website, theintentionallife.com. Click on the read icon and then type in the search engine decision making, and several great articles will pop up for you. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.